Artbeat with Catherine Davis on Talk 1260 KTRC.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Artbeat. This is your host, Catherine Davis. You're listening to Talk 1260 KTRC. We're streaming live on santafe.com, and you can always go there to download a podcast. My first guest today is Gage Peer. Gage is the Associate Gallery Director for Wade Wilson Art Santa Fe. Welcome, Gage. It's good to have you here.
Yeah. So Wade Wilson Art is actually in two cities. We have one in Houston and one in Santa Fe.
You opened in Santa Fe in 2012.
June. Yeah. So we've been there for around 6 months, a little bit over. And Houston's been up and running for a little over 7 years.
Great.
I believe. And so we have Ken General in Houston, who's our overall director and the main director in Houston, and then I'm the director in Santa Fe.
Right, and I notice in from your website, the information that you put out about the gallery, that you state that it's really one gallery in two locations, so you're working together on ideas, and you're definitely really interested and committed to showing relevant museum quality contemporary art. So welcome to Santa Fe. It's good to have you here as a gallery. And it's also good to have you here, Gage. I know we're going to have a lot to talk about, but I want to get the contact information out right away because otherwise I will forget that not everybody has it in front of them like I do.
Sure. But, so our gallery phone in Santa Fe is 505-660-4393.
Can you say that one more time?
Sure. 505-660-4393.
All righty.
You can always contact us there. We're open Tuesday to Saturday, 10 to 5.
And where is the gallery located?
And it's located in Canyon Road. So it's 409 Canyon Road, pretty close to the base.
Very good.
As you kind of come up the hill.
And the website?
The website's wadewilsonart.com.
All right. That's pretty easy. So I have you here because you're opening a show that really interests me that we'll be talking about. It's called From Lack, Finding Form at Its Vanishing. I love all of the implications of that about absence, presence, how negative space creates positive space. But we're going to get into Heidegger and everybody else in just a few minutes. The show is essentially a show of three of your artists, Lucinda Cobley, Michael Crowder, and Joan Winter. They are from Dallas and Houston. And tell us about yourself, Gage, because you had everything to do with this show. You curated it. You're the gallery director. I think it's your vision, your ideas.
Yeah. So I've had a background in painting and poetry. I studied at the Art Institute of Chicago for 3 years before I had to take a leave of absence for financial kind of nonsense going on. And I finished school a little bit later here at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design.
Oh, good.
Prior to that, I worked in a mine for 6 years to pay for school.
Really? Where?
And in California, in Richmond. So I've painting, printmaking, art, literature, that whole kind of spectrum has been a huge driving force for me throughout life. And I, you know, met Wade working as a server, and things ended up just kind of falling into place. He found out that I painted. He was able to talk to me about work, and, you know, one thing led to another, and I ended up directing his gallery.
Well, we're glad to have you.
Thank you.
What a great background. So tell us a little bit about these ideas that I know there's some great philosophical foundation for this show. Let's just go ahead and jump into it.
Yeah, sure. So the show originated as a paper show, and we kind of had to pull our way out of that as certain artists were dropping out. We didn't have quite enough work as we wanted to. And I think that it ended up turning out for the better, because what we were able to do is we were really able to focus on this idea that our traditional understanding of form is the thing that's there, what we're looking
right.
at, the positive forms. In figure drawing, you're looking at the people. And the composition that's underneath is really pushing and pulling you around that surface.
And I just wanted to interject here from Robert Atkins' Art Speak, because form is an idea that we throw out when we're talking about art and art theory, but what is form? So in his definition of formal and formalism, Atkins says, a work's formal qualities are those visual elements that give it form, its shape, size, structure, scale, composition, color, etc. So essentially, like you're saying, it's what is there.
Right.
But you're doing a little twist on this idea.
Yeah, I think that contemporary work, both in literature and philosophy and in visual arts, which we're talking about now, has really made this shift that form is both the invisible and the visible. It's
right.
How it's presented and how it removes itself again.
As a post-structuralist would have it, it's what I say is really shape, the meaning of it comes from what I don't say.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people have trouble when they're looking at contemporary work because they instantly want to know what it means.
Mm-hmm.
And when people come into the gallery and ask me, you know, this is pretty, but I don't know what it means, I always stop them right there. You never want to look at a painting and ask yourself what it means. You want to look at a painting and say, what does it do? What is the activity that is being presented to me?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what contemporary work really pins itself on. And that is where you get to the meaning. That's where you get to the understanding of something. Because when you're looking at a work, Cobley, for instance, and some of her monotypes that she has up, she's printing on both the frontal surface as well as the reverse. So what you're
It's a Duralar, kind of a transparent.
A Duralar is, kind of a thicker,
like Mylar,
thoggy plastic.
Uh-huh.
And so what you're looking at, you're being confronted with both the front of a work and the reverse at once.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting the direct color and you're getting refracted color.
Mm-hmm.
And so that the action of that work is, you know, you're looking at it in the context of all that color is coming from light in the atmosphere reacting to the chemicals that she's applied.
Mm-hmm. So getting back to your original premise or thesis that when you're looking at a work of contemporary art, ideally the viewer, instead of saying, what does it mean, is going to say, what is it doing? One of the questions as a subtext, would you say, Gage, could be, could the question be, what is it doing for me? How am I interacting with it?
Yeah, I think that comes into play a little bit depending on the piece. A lot of people want to insert themselves into the work.
Right.
They want to get some kind of emotional connection. And I think that for me, that's always come a little bit secondary. When you're looking at a piece, you need to look at it as this autonomous kind of dictator role, that it's this self-perpetuating machine.
Yeah,
it doesn't
it's a
run
system,
out of energy.
A visual system.
Once it's put into place, it goes.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to do whatever it's going to do, regardless of you being there.
And regardless of the artist's intention, often.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a hard concept for people to grasp. I think many of us grew into our art knowledge, such as it may be, with the big ideas of the American school, the New York school, the abstract expressionists, and those were big masterpieces created in action and very dramatically with a lot of rugged individualism and a lot of meaning inherent to them. They were meant to evoke emotion. And so we still have this idea that that's how art should work for us. And it doesn't work like that anymore. It can. And also, I want to jump in there and say, in my opinion, there is nothing wrong with saying, that's pretty, I like that. I want
no,
to look at it.
Not.
Yeah, I want to look at it some more and see what it's doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There's no, there's no wrong way.
Entry. Yeah. And I think that that's what blocks people a little bit, is they want to understand, they want to know, and they walk away and feel like they've accomplished something.
Yeah.
And I think the best works are the ones that keep you on your toes. You keep looking at them. You keep wondering. You feel like you're not getting it all. That's the fantastic part. And then if you look at the New York school, or you look at, you know, a lot of the Bay Area figurative movement that was happening almost alongside each other, a lot of them had these raw emotions and that they were putting to the work. But the really lasting parts of those works, they're always doing that. And then the emotion ends up just being kind of propelled by these formal aspects of de Kooning, marking down light, drawing with light, Diebenkorn, who was able to get, you know, these almost aerial views of landscapes and having them pivot and hinge back and forth on each other. Those are the activities that are the foundation for any emotion that you're feeling.
Yes, absolutely. So the form, the thing that makes the object that the artist used, almost the medium, but formed is not medium. It functions. It is its own system. It has its own values, perhaps, although we imbue our values onto it. So tell us a little bit more about how lack of form works in this show.
Well, So we called the show From Lack, Finding mm-hmm. Form and It's Vanishing. And the base idea in there is that these three artists are trying to pare down their works. And so what you're actually seeing, what's coming up to the surface, is oftentimes something that's been removed or omitted.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, Crowder, for instance, who crafts these boxes in mahogany and they're really finely done. Mm-hmm. You have this black void of oil. You have these really delicate looking resin drill bits. And the longer you end up looking at that, you start seeing the space, the emptiness, where there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
And it really kind of acts as a force that compacts the box, that keeps your eye moving around, and ends up bringing the work kind of to fruition. It brings it up to the front. It presents it.
Right. It sounds to me like what these artists have in common is what the artist Lucinda Cobley calls a reductive vocabulary. In other words, working with what's not there in order to imply form.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. So what we're going to do is we're going to have to... You're so much fun to talk to, Gage, and we could just keep going for a couple of hours, but I don't think the radio station would appreciate that. So we're going to be taking a break in just a few seconds. And what we'll do when we come back is we'll talk about the artists, the individual artists whose work you've chosen to have in this show that support your idea that what is there is there because of what is not there.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
So again, I'm talking with Gage Peer. He's the curator of the show that we're looking at that's open this weekend, From Lack, Finding Form at Its Vanishing at Wade Wilson Art Santa Fe on Canyon Road. And we will be back after the break. You're listening to Art Beat on Talk 1260 KTRC. Welcome back. You're listening to Artbeat. I'm Catherine Davis, and my guest is Gage Peer from Wade Wilson Art Santa Fe on Canyon Road. And we've been talking about the show that just opened this weekend, From Lack, Finding Form and It's Vanishing. Gage, we've talked about some general ideas about a reductive vocabulary, creating form from nothing. I hate to use that word, nothing, but... let's talk about the artists specifically and how they support your curatorial thesis. We've got Lucinda Cobley, Michael Crowder, and Joan Winter.
Sure. So both Joan Winter and Lucinda Cobley are kind of these multimedia artists. Joan makes a lot of fantastic, masterfully done prints as well as sculptures.
Mm-hmm.
So in this show, we'll be having a few of her prints and one particular sculpture that I really think is kind of the keystone of the show itself. And the sculpture is a resin piece that has the structure is resin. So it's very delicate. It's almost see-through, and it's set in front of a dark kind of navy wall. So you're getting the sense when you're looking at this sculpture that the empty space, the nothing, or that void is really a force, and it's focused on the material presence. So it's interacting, it's engaging, and it's really presenting the material work there. The only reason why it's there is because of this empty space.
Right. And I think it's interesting and will help the listeners to find an access point into Joan's work.
Mm-hmm.
By understanding that she's deeply influenced by contemporary Japanese architecture.
Yes.
And so if we think about, as she puts it in her statement, spaces emphasizing light and transparency as primary elements.
Yes.
I love that idea. The rice paper walls
right,
in a Japanese
right.
home, for example, are creating illusions of space rather than architectural monsters of that, you know, are like jails.
Right. Well, a simple way to look at this that I've actually learned from one of our artists, Joseph Marioni, is that look at when you come into the gallery, when you see the show, look at these works and I'll be there and you can ask me, turn off the lights. When you turn off the lights, the piece changes. The surfaces change. What we're seeing presented in the prints, in the paintings, in these sculptures is light in the atmosphere interacting with those surfaces.
Mm-hmm.
So what Joan does, it's so fantastic, is she pares down all these excessive elements. So what we're really just seeing and we can focus on is light moving across the surface. Mm. It's very delicate. There's this oscillation there. There's this ebb and flow. Light isn't a still thing. It's not static. It's constantly engaged. It's constantly crossing mm-hmm. a space. And right. that's what we're seeing.
And what's interesting about that is that it's a physical fact. I mean, it's a fact of absolutely. Quantum physics that this table that we're sitting next to, Gage, is actually composed of these little tiny molecular units that are moving constantly. We're all in motion on a micro and a macro basis. And this is art that is really engaging with those scientific facts.
It is. I mean, light is a productive force. And I think that something that contemporary work is heavily involved with is how do we present that? How do we really get to the root of what painting is, what printmaking mm-hmm. is, what sight is?
Right.
And, you know, you mentioned the abstract expressionist. A lot of people got into a panic after that movement because they decided painting was dead.
Yeah,
we had Rothko, Motherwell, de Kooning, and no one knew what to do with painting anymore. And mm-hmm. It's really not dead. There's a lot going on. We have Cobley in the show who has two revision white pieces up, one in the main show, one in our office. And these are pieces that are so simple in design that they're kind of... they're off-putting at first. A lot of people approach them and they don't know how to look. And this is kind of what this reductive quality teaches us. It teaches us how to see at a very fundamental level.
Yeah. And also not just how to see, but in the full definition of the term, how to understand, how to comprehend or apprehend mm-hmm. an idea. It reminds me of Robert Rauschenberg's white paintings that he really enjoyed the fact that they functioned like screens. They were reflective surfaces. Mm-hmm. Not meant to be imbued with deep meaning the way that the abstract expressionists had been treating painting.
Right. And I think that, you know, when you look at these works, because of the way that each of these artists are using marks or using the pigment or the structure of Crowder sculptures, for example, when you can look at them as this functioning thing in and of itself, that is kind of propelled into its existence. And you can take yourself out. You can get to these deeper meanings, these deeper ideas that are actually really relevant, if not abstract. And there's kind of a barrier there. Mm-hmm. But when you look at Cobley and in the revision white pieces, and you start to see that there's marking on the front, there's marking on the back, and they don't stay there.
Right.
Your eye can't trace it. You can never pin down where that's happening. Mm-hmm. It keeps moving. It keeps you engaged. It keeps changing kind of its direction, its relationship with you. Mm-hmm. And that's what's important.
And our minds are looking for something static, a painting on the wall that we can stand away from in the museum stance with our hands behind our backs and look at it and get it.
Right.
And that's not how life is. And therefore, that's not how art is. I like the idea with Michael Crowder that I'm looking at some of the material from your website, mm-hmm. that he works with fragility and ephemerality. His materials include things like glass, sugar, paraffin, ashes.
Yes.
Not your usual archival, although I'm sure the pieces themselves are archival, but not your usual, this is going to last forever marble, say.
Right. And when you look at them too, he has such a fine attention to detail. He has such a careful eye. He has these boxes up that are sealed in mahogany borders. Mm-hmm. He has another box within that has a plexi front that's holding that oil in. There's a drill resin. And you look at them and they scream fragility. When you see them, you can just feel that if you touch them, the entire space that's being held together will fall apart.
Hmm.
We don't have his Mariposa, the butterfly collection in this show, but it's the same thing. He's presenting you with these objects that we feel that we already have an idea for what they are,
mm-hmm.
and he redirects our vision of them. He redirects our understanding because first we're presented, we're confronted with this fragility, and then the object.
Right. So you're really confronting some very basic ideas about art that I think are really no longer true, but they're difficult to accept, mm-hmm. which is that the art object itself is, first of all, not permanent. Its meaning changes. The way it looks changes. It is a changing object, as are we all. Mm-hmm. And that's tough when you're used to thinking, okay, Michelangelo's David has been there for 500 years and it'll be there for 500 more years, and that's how art should work. Mm-hmm. So here we are left with a lot of questions, which I think that that's really the purpose of art. If we can get some good questions out of a show and also look at some pretty things. I want to make that clear, folks. I like pretty things, and I'm a fan absolutely. Of beauty.
And the works are absolutely gorgeous.
They look lovely. They absolutely do. So the show is going to be up through April 7th. Is that
yes.
correct, Gage?
Yeah.
And go ahead and introduce yourself to Gage. Visit the gallery, introduce yourself to Gage, talk to him about art and whether it's meant to last. We'll be back after the break. You've been listening to Art Beat with my guest, Gage Peer of Wade Wilson Art Santa Fe. Everybody, welcome back to Art Beat. This is Catherine Davis, and my guest in this segment you've heard from before, Mary Bonney. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you for having me.
We have you here in order to check in and find out how things went with Art Feast, the big event that happened. Was it last weekend? Or
it was last weekend.
A couple
yeah,
years
from Friday
ago?
Till Sunday.
And you were mentioning roasted pigs and drunk people. So let's start on that note. How did things go with Art Feast,
things
Mary?
Things went great. And I only lost my shoes once. So it was a fantastic event. As far as the numbers, all the numbers are up from last year. And it looks like it's going to be the biggest one that we've ever had.
Now, let's remind everybody what we're talking about. Because I had you come on, you and Connie Axton came on the mm-hmm. show a couple of weeks ago to talk about Art Smart, which is the organization that really runs this event, Art Feast, which is not just one thing. It was many, many events.
That's
right.
But
you raise money. Tell us, you raise money for?
For the arts programs in the public schools. And we also have a visiting artist program, and we have a scholarship program that we support as well. But we've given over $1 million to the public schools in 16 years, and we're off to a rock and roll start for the 17th year. So
that's fantastic.
Did great.
And
yeah.
I guess all your numbers aren't in. I don't know if the accountants would agree with us saying this, but you were telling me that it looks like this was your best year ever.
Yeah, all the events were up, everything. The event that I chaired was probably 15-20% up from last year.
Which we event had, was that?
That was the gourmet dinner. Mm-hmm. And that was sold out, but we also had some stellar auction items. And we also, at that event, do a special appeal. So that's just asking for donations, and it was just off the chart. It was great.
Oh, that's so excellent.
Yeah, it was excellent. And the Edible Art Tour, we always, you know, 1,600 people participate in that event. And then the fashion show, which was Friday afternoon, was another big event, and it was bigger than ever, too. And the artist
Good.
Brunch on Sunday was just absolutely mm-hmm. spectacular. 20 tables, more auction items than I've ever seen. So there was metalwork, artwork, paintings, glass, jewelry, just really great things. And there were bids on everything.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
So let's go back to EAT, the Edible Art Tour. You sent me some notes, and you said that one gallerist told you she had almost 500
more
people mm-hmm. in her gallery than she had the
more
year
people
before.
Than last year. Yeah, it was just packed. It was
500
packed.
People in a gallery is a lot of people.
Yeah, and that's in addition to her regular numbers. So uh-huh. it was just crazy. And, you know, even with the snow, just people were just out and about. And, you know, we were all selling buttons too, and they sell them downtown, and the shuttles were full. It was just very, very busy. And everyone stepped up. One gallery had an entire roasted pig in the gallery.
Who was that? Let's give them some credit.
I don't remember
not sure.
who it was.
Did you have too much to drink that night, Mary?
Afterwards, I did. I went to dance at the
Eldorado,
and I took my boots off to dance. I just couldn't stand it. 12 hours in heels was enough for me.
So, right.
Yeah. But
and this woman's still smiling, people. I don't know how you do it.
Just keep going. It was a lot of fun. Lisa, was it Lisa Law, the photographer?
Yes. Tell me about
that. She was
at Feast or Famine?
We were at the Eldorado for the after party.
Oh.
And my sweetie, who's a deadhead, just sort of saw angels and said, "That's Lisa Law." And so, of course, I got the down and dirty on who she was and then talked to her.
Let's say who she is. Lisa Law
yeah.
is a photographer who lives in the area. She's been part of house communes.
Yeah,
she's
and the
photographed
hog farm
everybody
and the photography of the 60s. Just an icon, really.
And her bus.
Yes. Yes.
Her
and there she
bus.
Was just standing there. She was a guest, I think, with Cynthia Canyon from Trend Magazine. Mm-hmm. But it was just great to see somebody like there at our event. So it mm-hmm. was really wonderful.
And what was the Lisa Law wants to put the word out there that she wants to start a museum dedicated to.
Yeah, I need to put the word 60s. Out to the community that she wants a museum dedicated to her photography. So if anybody's listening, chop, chop.
Yeah, let's start a hippie museum.
I think this is the right place to do it.
So it sounds like a lot of fun was had.
It was. The artist brunch
and that's
was
just
my
Friday
favorite.
Night.
Yeah, that was just Friday night. The artist brunch was Sunday, but the best event of the whole weekend for me was during the artist brunch. We had some guest speakers and some of the artists spoke. And then Mary Olson, who's an art teacher that works with the ArtSmart projects, brought in this little girl who had gone through our plate project last mm-hmm. year and painted a plate. And she talked about how this, she was new to the school where she was doing the plate project.
So she's a new kid in school,
new
which
kid
is
in school,
kind of
a little,
awkward.
Yeah. And so she just got up and said this had been such a great project for her. It helped her make friends. It helped her feel like she belonged to something. And then, and you know, this is a 10-year-old. She was terrified and it was so cute and so pure and so wonderful. And then she just said, I can't imagine my life without art. Aww. So at that point, I just stood up and said, we have to give her a standing ovation. So we did. And that was, it was such a great moment and such a great way to sort of end the event with that great statement from this innocent little voice who mm-hmm. told everyone just what it was. It was
well,
wonderful.
This is the essence of ArtSmart. Yeah. This is what Art Feast is all about.
Yeah, that's what I said to the audience was, this is what making a difference looks like. This little girl standing up to say something. Mm-hmm. And that, for me, that was the best moment of the entire weekend was that weekend.
But it wasn't the only moment. Let's say we've hit the fashion show. That was fun. I was there.
Yeah.
The gourmet dinner.
Oh, the gourmet dinner. We had the chess sets.
Yes.
And those were so cool. That was a project that Jacob Cisneros did with Star York, who was our honorary artist.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about Saturday night
Saturday
at the El Dorado.
This was at Four Seasons Rancho Encantado.
And
this was, yeah. And we also had a dance floor and a band at this event. So we're trying to do some new things. But these were some of the best auction items, art items that we've had. And they were, one of them was all of these little birds and birdhouses.
The chess sets.
And these are chess sets. Yeah. So they were these little miniature sculptures and one was sea creatures. And I mean, they all sold, obviously. One of them sold for $2,500. I mean, they were just
fantastic.
Really stellar art projects.
And these were made with, under the guidance of Joseph Cisneros, with students from the New Mexico School for the Arts.
Yeah, the New Mexico School for the Arts, and then with the guidance also of Star York, who was our honorary artist who also does bronze.
Yeah.
So that's why they were in bronze, and it was just a really, really great item. And then we had, on the same night, we also had these little milagros that were made by kindergartners. Aww. So we had these really beautiful, wonderful chess sets that were very elegant, but also these very sweet little, you know, little tin types made by little kids. And it was such a range, but very, very sweet. And everything sold. The plates, our new item, the dessert plates, those sold for a big number. And, you know, everything mm-hmm. went. It was just really wonderful.
It sounds like you could have auctioned off a used napkin at that point.
I ended up giving 3 speeches, so I'll blame that on the wine. But and then I got really excited because Jacob's wife owns Goliere shoes. So
yes, is that Guadalupe?
I gave her a lot of reference. Yeah, a lot of reverence. So it was fun. It was a fun weekend. Everybody let loose a little bit because we put a lot into it. So it's fun to sort of breathe a sigh of relief and go, okay, we're here. It is what it is, and just have some fun. But I think that energy translates and people just really mm-hmm. let loose and had a good mm-hmm. time and put their money where it counted. So
that's why I wanted to have you back because when we had you talking with Connie about what was there, it's one thing to talk about what's going to happen, what we intend. It's another thing to say, okay, this happened, big grins on our faces. Everything mm-hmm. was fun. We raised money. We had a good time. We can't wait to do it again.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know that you know, we have an impact, you know, that feels good to actually do something successfully and know that now we can go out into the community with this money, you know, and give out some checks and find our next scholarship students. And, you know, I told you the story about the one scholarship student who was the first to go to college, first to graduate high school. I want to meet the next one. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, and we can do more. We're going to have at least 2 more scholarships this year and bigger awards. And so it's exciting for me to see who's next. You know?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
that's the best
part. Fantastic.
Yeah.
So let's see. We have talked about some of the events. Tell us, you said that your favorite event was the Sunday brunch?
Yeah, the artist brunch. Yeah, just with that little girl, that whole thing just made my day. And it started out at site. We did. We wanted to include the rail yard because it's hard logistically with the edible art tour to include all of the arts districts. It just sort of lends itself to getting up Canyon Road because that's where the concentration of galleries are. So what we really tried to do this year was include the rail yard because they're a very important part of our arts community, but you know, it's just hard to include them. So we did a special reception at site with the Linda Mary Montano exhibit.
Yes, I saw that. You had a special viewing with her.
Yeah.
She performed?
She wasn't there, but we had the curator gave a speech.
Janet
Deese. And then, yeah, and then we had just a great tour of everything. And that was really a lot of fun. And the tie in with her is that she did the pinata project. And those were there were pinatas on every table at the artist brunch. Mm-hmm. And then there was the big pinata filled with positive affirmations, which incidentally did not get smashed because they thought it turned out so well, they turned it into a silent auction item. So someone else gets to smash it and read all the notes. But the kids did a little, almost like a magazine with their affirmations written in it. Mm-hmm. So everyone that bought a pinata got the booklet with the pictures of all the affirmations that were in that big one. So
that must be very
they really
sweet.
Tied it together in a nice way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So it was nice to include site in that. And then we were at the Hotel Santa Fe and they were wonderful. They were really all of the vendors and the people involved. I just want to say thank you. I can't name them all because I know I'll leave somebody out. But, you know, the hotels, the businesses that donated. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because without the donations and the accommodations and the food and everyone working together, this would not be what it was. It really is a community event.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it all came together beautifully.
Well, I am so proud of you and of ArtSmart and of our community for coming together to do this kind of good work and to have such happy results.
Thank you. Thank
it's you. Fantastic. Let's see. We have, the fashion show also, there was a special gift.
Oh, that was a lot of fun.
Tell us about that.
We made everybody get up out of their chairs. We wanted to do a giveaway. So at the tables, we put a piece of masking tape under one of the chairs. So during the fashion show event, we made everybody stand up and they had to look under their chair to see who had the tape. And whoever had the tape was the winner of the centerpiece of the table. And those centerpieces were from the Digital Design Academy at Capitol High. And they were these little cool wooden boxes with digital images placed in them of fashion. So it all tied back to fashion, you know, 30, 40 years, some great historical images and some compilation images done with digital design. So that
so
was
people
fun.
Went home from the fashion show with art made by the Capitol High students, which is, again, what it's all about.
Yeah.
So I'm here, we're talking on Art Beat about Art Smart and Art Feast and the event that has raised money for kids in the arts in Santa Fe. I'm talking with Mary Bonney. And we will be right back after the break and sort of recap everything. You're listening to Talk 1260 KTRC. Welcome back to Art Beat. This is Catherine Davis. We're streaming live on SantaFe.com. And again, I'm talking with Mary Bonney, the president of Art Smart, about how successful Art Feast was.
Yes.
Yay.
It was amazing.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So again, you don't have the final numbers yet, but it looks as if, by all counts, this was your best year ever.
Yeah. It looks like every event was up from last year, which would make it the best year ever. So
fantastic. And again, you're raising money for
The arts programs in the public schools and also for our visiting artist program and
our
scholarship program.
This is where the artists go into the schools?
Yeah. The artists pair with a teacher and they'll do different mediums, like encaustic. We've even had glass blowing. So they try and do something that's outside of what the teacher can normally do in the classroom and create a more dimensional learning experience with the artist. So that visiting artist program takes care of that. And it pays the artist. So it's a great opportunity for the artist to be employed and do what they're doing and then teach as well.
Yeah, so, and to make a difference in their community.
Because
ultimately, I think we're all a little bit happier people when we are able to help others.
That was the biggest takeaway for me this weekend was to be on the ground, so to speak, and talk to people about, you know, why they were here, why they supported it, to sit and talk with donors and to tell them what we're doing. And then, like the little girl who spoke at the artist brunch, that's what means the most for mm-hmm. this, for what we're doing, because the impact that art has on people's lives isn't always easy to define. And so mm-hmm. when you talk to people one-on-one and just hear personal stories about how it's made their life better, or about the kid who gets to go to college who wouldn't have a chance to, or even buying art supplies, or the teacher who's just happy to be able to do art and work with the kids. You know, those are the things that mean the most to me when I'm out doing these events. Mm-hmm. And then really seeing people put their money where their mouth is, mm-hmm. making a difference one kid at a time is how we do it. So, mm-hmm. you know, we're working on the merger with FACT now. So we're back to that focus. We had to kind of table it to get through these events. And we're getting together next week to really talk about what the new organization will look like.
Now, again, let's step back a bit. Yeah. FACT is Fine Art for Children and Teens, yeah. which was founded, a decade or so ago?
Yeah, well, we have about 56 years of collective experience. So, yeah, so
that might be enough.
22 years or something. And they're an amazing organization, and they are very heavy in programming. They go into Española, Chimayo. They have a space at Zona del Sol where they do classes. I know artists who have volunteered there religiously for years, and that people that don't get paid, but they're such a big believer in that organization, they come and help them out. And so we're working on this merger with them. And so this year, for the first time, we had another organization at our events helping out, and they were great. I mean, their program director was schlepping auction items on Sunday. They
now, who's
really
that?
Elizabeth Crumpler.
Hey,
bless you. Yeah, she was great. But everyone worked really hard, and it was great to team up with them as sort of a, you know, precursor to this merger and really get to work mm-hmm. together.
So FACT will become Art Smart, we hope?
No, we're going to create a third entity uh-huh. called Art FACT.
Oh,
so
okay.
And we have a website called Art FACT New Mexico, and we named it Art FACT New Mexico with the long-term hope of going further outside of Santa Fe.
Good.
And maybe even with a big dream of going statewide at some point. So we wanted to really leave that option open for us. And the Thaw Foundation has donated the Pink Church building that FACT has been in for years.
I was just going to ask you about that. That
huge.
Is wonderful.
Thank
news.
You to the Thaw Foundation, because now there's a permanent home for Fine Art for Children and Teens, for Art Smart, for Art FACT. And so, you know, our homework now is to really put this together and put this new organization together and expand our programming and really get busy mm-hmm. with that.
But again, that's the Pink Church on Pacheco. So
yeah.
Art FACT won't move. It
right.
will actually now have a permanent
home. Yeah, which is just a really big deal, and a permanent home because that's a great space for a lot of the classes that they do too.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're working on, our next project is in May. FACT has a birthday, and it's usually in April. We pushed it to May this year because we just couldn't pull off all these events at once. So our next event will be the birthday party for FACT, because we won't legally be merged yet, so it'll still be technically for FACT, and that will be at the end of May at the Santa Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it'll be a lot of art auction items.
Well, I would imagine that yeah. We'll have you back on Art Beat.
I'll be happy to come talk about it.
So, Mary, tell us, one of the reasons it's so much fun to talk to you is your enthusiasm is so genuine, mm-hmm. and it's personal. You have experience with your daughter. Maybe I don't know the exact story, but you said here in your notes that we're not all doctors and lawyers,
yeah,
because our brains work differently.
Yeah, and this gives those people a chance to excel. You know,
mm-hmm.
The arts are. I know for me personally, when I was growing up, art was the one thing I could do really well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did my own art, and that eventually morphed into me having a gallery. But if it weren't for art, I would have been a very lost kid.
Yeah.
And then my daughter, we went through the hurricane, and when we moved here,
right.
she was two.
You moved from
New Orleans yeah.
after Katrina
yeah.
to Santa Fe. I remember when you moved here, you were over on 2nd Street.
I was. Well, I was on Marcy Street downtown.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So I came here to this place I'd never been, didn't know anybody, with this 2-year-old who was completely traumatized from this experience.
Yeah.
And that's how I found Art Smart, because I started looking around because I thought, what can help her? She's two. You know, a 2-year-old can't go lay on a therapist couch and talk about what's bothering her. So I really had to think, how can I help my daughter? And art was the only thing that came to my mind. So when I started doing research on local arts organizations for children, that's how I came across Art Smart and Fine Art for Children and Teens. She was too young for that, obviously, but what I did with her was she saw an art therapist, Roberta Goodman, I think her name was, out in Tosuke. And she did that for about 8 months, and that saved my little girl. Mm. You know, this was a two-year-old, and art therapy, she, you know, completely turned her around and took the trauma away. So for me, it's a labor of love in that, because I know from my own life and from Lily's life and other people's lives how much art matters, mm-hmm. you know, in really, really meaningful ways.
Oh, it absolutely saves lives. Yeah. I really believe that. And it certainly saves psyches. It saves souls.
Yeah.
It keeps some of us from going down the dark paths that we might otherwise go down if we don't feel that we belong or have any skills that anyone values. What are we going to do? So when we find out, oh, I'm good at art, or art allows me to think in a different way, I don't feel so inadequate here.
Right.
We can become the full authentic people that we are meant to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can talk about the economic impact, and that's absolutely vital. And especially in Santa Fe, where one in six people are related to the arts, and it's truly a billion-dollar industry, mm-hmm. one of our own industries that we have here. But on a personal level, it's so much more.
Right.
And that was to share that with people this weekend and to have it validated and rewarded and have them support things just from that, from the emotional part of it, means so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Mary Bonnie. I really appreciate your coming back on air to tell us how Art Feast went. I'm so thrilled that it was the best year ever, and you deserve it. And we can't wait to see what you do next. We'll be looking for you in May FACT anniversary. And so we've gone today on Art Beat on Talk 1260 KTRC from a very heady interview with Gage Peer of Wade Wilson Fine Art and back to Mary and why art matters. We'll see you next week. You've been listening to Art Beat with Catherine Davis.